It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power. I'm Neva Pyatt, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. And over there running the iPad is Miss Tina Dobbs, and supervising over to the side, Monica. She has to be here to help us all along and to teach and to train and all that kind of stuff. And our very special guest today, Renee Kilhofer. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to be here today.
Well, it's so good to have you. Last time you came, I think we had a doctor's appointment in the city or something, mm-hmm. so I didn't get to even listen right then or be here. So I was glad I could be here today to be part of this. And then I'm getting to host. Monica stuck me over here at the last minute, asked me if I'd host. I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. So here I am. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. There's one other way you can send it, and that's to our texting line, 580-485-0837. Our Facebook sponsor today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries. Monica's giving me the head shake because sometimes I forget who it is. She keeps me lined out, Renee. She tries. It is not an easy job.
We all need that person.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We record in two parts, and after the program's over, we will put it over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com. And you can go there if you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook. Send them there. Have them go to the Hour of Power, and then they can click on the day that they missed. I think I've covered everything. Will you pray to start us out, Renee?
I'd love to. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we have together to just talk about the faithfulness of God and how good you are. And we just give you this time, Father, and ask that you accomplish what you want to do during this hour, and that we will be open to receive and be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And so what are you going to be sharing with us today?
I am going to talk today about how much we need each other. Mm-hmm. That's where my heart is. I'm the leader of our women's group at our church, and we call it sisterhood. And we call it sisterhood because we need each other. Mm-hmm. We are in this together. You know, we have become a culture of isolation and independence. Mm. And that happened before COVID. COVID just magnified it. We come home and pull in the garage. We put the garage door down. We go in our house. We eat dinner, watch TV, and then we slip out and go to work. Same thing over and over again. You know, used to, you would walk out your door and your neighbors would be outside on the front porch, kids playing in the yards. It was instant community, and we don't have that anymore. My dad says that the downfall of America came when they took the front porches off of houses. And the older I get, the more I understand that, because most of us don't even know our neighbors, mm-hmm. don't even know their names a lot of times. And I'm guilty of that too. I've lived in the same place for 15 years and probably just started talking to my neighbors in the last year. Mm. You know, it's like, so, but that is the way Satan wants it. He wants us isolated from each other, but that's not God's plan. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, "It's not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper." God always meant for us to do life together, mm-hmm. and we need each other. We're all in this together. We are a family. We are sisterhood. And women, men need this too, but because I'm a woman, we're going to talk about women today. But we need this. Women are unique in that we have to talk about a situation over and over and over again until we can finally wrap our brains around it and it makes some kind of sense, then we can close that window and move on. And we don't necessarily want someone to tell us what to do. We're just processing. Mm-hmm. We're processing our feelings. And that's why we sometimes get into a little conflict there with our husbands, because when we start to tell them, they start to tell us what we need to do. And we don't want them to tell us what we need to do, because most of the time we already know. We want them to hear how we feel mm-hmm. about what happened. And so I think women can connect on that level, because we tend to listen to each other. We tend to listen to each other's feelings better. And so I think it's really, really important. But if we're going to change the dynamic of our culture, we're going to have to be intentional about it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something that happens on purpose. And we're going to have to start by building relationships. And we're only human, so it's going to be hard. And people are going to disappoint you, and you are going to disappoint people. But God is never going to disappoint you. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says that we're all guilty. None of us do it right. On our own, we don't even give God the time of day if we're left on our own. So the first relationship that we have to nurture is our relationship with God. But we have to be able to take that to each other as well. You know, think about every time Jesus did a miracle in the Bible, what did people do? They ran back to their towns or their villages to tell everybody what God had just done in their life. That this man must be the Son of God because he healed me, or he forgave my sins. He told me my sins and then told me I was forgiven, like the woman at the well. And so they go back and they tell their community. And then their joy, the love of God that's so filled them, overflows onto the people around them. So if we nurture that relationship with God and we allow him to fill us to overflowing with his Spirit, we spill what we're filled with. So anything that's not of God, that needs to go, so that we're spilling the Holy Spirit. But we have to make an effort. We have to start, and we have to take some risk in building these relationships. The ladies at our church, we did a Bible study back in the spring, and it was called Find Your People. And it was so good. It was such a good Bible study. But out of that Bible study, we were talking about how, you know, you have to step out of the boat. And one of the girls kind of coined this phrase, and she said, ladies, and we had talked this to death because we're women, and here's this like 20-something little girl that's been married about 4 months, and she speaks up and says, ladies, you just have to embrace the awkward. And I thought, that is so true. That's profound. That phrase has found its way onto one of our t-shirts. Embrace the awkward. That's stepping out of the boat. That's taking a step of faith. And sometimes that's just in communicating with someone else. And so that's really what I want to talk about this morning, is nurturing our relationship with Christ and nurturing our relationships with each other. Because together we're better. Mm-hmm. If we don't put him first, you know, then we're trying to love Christ through other people. If we put him up here and put the people in our lives between us and him, we're trying to love these people on our own, and we're trying to go through them even to get to God. But if we keep God first, we love him first, then we can love these people through him. Then we take God's perfection to their imperfections, instead of trying to put perfection on people. Because when we assign that these ideas of perfection and expect more out of people than they're capable of, that's when we get disappointed. Mm-hmm. And people will disappoint you, for sure.
The wrong expectations.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to learn to have grace for each other. That's it.
You know, if we think about how much grace the Lord gives us, I mean, we should definitely be able to give grace to others.
Exactly.
And if we don't, shame on us.
Exactly. You know, I believe it was Peter who said, "Such as I have, give I thee." Mm-hmm. You know, has God given me grace? Yes, he's given me grace. Mm-hmm. I can freely give grace to you. You know, we're human. And if we're honest, we have those reactions to other people. But if we can pause, and this came out of our study too, another lady said it, if we can respond instead of react,
amen,
then we show the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it all stems from nurturing your relationship with Christ, because the more you draw into Christ and the more you live in God's presence, the more likely that response will be automatic. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to make mistakes, but it gets easier, I guess, is what I'm saying. And we begin to recognize when we have that little sting, instead of drawing within ourselves and being offended, we recognize this person needs grace. This person needs me to say something kind. And I think if we pause, take a deep breath, respond, and not react, then God is glorified in that.
You know, one of the things that I came to realize, and I try to do this, is I call it instant messaging to the Lord.
That's good.
You know, when I want to say, and I've said this 1,000 times on this program over the years, but I used to say to my kids, "Why didn't you take the trash out?" or whatever it was, instead of saying, "Is there some particular reason you didn't take the trash out?" which is not anyways near as offensive. So when I am inclined to react, like you're talking about, I try to instant message the Lord, "How would I say this?"
You know, that's a good word.
And it's instant. I mean, he will instantly put in your spirit, if you're in tune with him. I mean, if you never talk to him otherwise, it may take him a little while, because you might have built up so much stuff that you can't hear him. But stay in tune with the Lord, and he will instantly message you back on how to address that situation instead of acting like a not very nice person.
Yes. And the thing is, I believe this is true for most people. Most people, you know, if something's going on in their life, their actions are a result of that. It's not a character mm-hmm. issue. It's a pain issue or a healing issue. You know, you can come out of trauma. A person can go through trauma, and that's a hard thing to do. But going through that trauma is not as hard as going through that healing mm-hmm. that follows. And that's where we need to have grace for people. But so many times, especially if we haven't walked through their particular trauma, so many times we think, "Well, good grief, it's been 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, get over it." Well, the healing's just starting. You know, and God showed me this back in the spring, like I said, and my daughter was coming out of an abusive marriage and had just come back home, and so much was going on, and that there was that mother in me, that part of me that was like, "You're gone. You're out of there. It's over. You know, escape." And now we're going on like 9 months, and I'm realizing how much healing she still has to do. And I feel like God just spoke to me one day and said, "Leave her alone." Your responsibility is to love her. She is healing, and I will take care of everything else. You just love her and let me heal her and let her walk through this at her own pace. And I think if we can extend that kind of grace to other people, then we're going to win more people to Christ. Mm-hmm. Because just because you love the Lord doesn't mean you got it all together.
Unfortunately, <Yeah. laughs> there's always room for improvement.
Yeah. But if we can shift our expectations to God, that changes everything in every situation, regardless of what it is. And be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I personally believe all things are spiritual. I don't believe that you go through any part of your day where you can categorize this as something spiritual and this as not spiritual. And my daughter and I were talking about this very thing last night. You know, there are things that people who don't love the Lord will also think about, but that doesn't mean it's not a spiritual thing. And so I believe that we need to start our day with God. What do you want to do with me today? Mm-hmm. Give me wisdom, give me listening ears, and show me what you want to do with me today. And it might just be saying hello to that lady in the checkout line behind you. Mm-hmm. It might just be, you know, I would encourage you to make this a practice. If you see someone and you think their shoes are cute, you think to my head, in your head, oh, those are cute shoes. Say it out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, I love your shoes. You know, you might just open a door to a conversation that changes that woman for eternity. Or you might just be planting the seed. You know, it's not up to us to reel in everyone, but it is our responsibility to leave those people closer to Jesus than they were before they met, before you had that encounter with them. And so that needs to be our goal every day. And if we can keep our focus on God, like I said, and stay in tune with Him, then He will help us do just that. And that's how we build those relationships. And listen, there may be people you don't like. That's just a fact. I read some statistics the other day that no matter how nice you are, 10% of the people that you meet in your lifetime won't like you. I know. I know. It shocked me too. I thought, how? How do they not like me? Well, you know, okay, maybe because you're arrogant, you know? I don't know.
Here's my thought on that. Why wouldn't you like me? I like you.
Exactly.
I mean.
Exactly. And some of us are like that. We're too oblivious to realize that they don't really like us and we're being annoying. And so we just, you know, continue to push. But we can still plant that seed and move on if they don't want us there. You know, leave that door open. Don't shut that door. We're quick to cut people off in this society. If you hurt me, I'm done with you. You know, that's the attitude more times than not. And that's what we have to push through because that's grace. You know, thank God He didn't say that to me, that if you hurt, Renee, if you hurt me, I'm done with you. Mm-hmm. You know, my son's blood is going to cover everybody's sin but yours because you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, God didn't do that. And we can't do that with people either, not if we expect to bring them into the kingdom. And listen, they may have a different opinion than you, they may go to a different church than you, they may worship in a different way to you, but one day we're all going to be in heaven together and we're all going to be worshiping together. And I believe the diversity in that is what thrills God. Mm-hmm. I think He loves that. You know, we started this thing at our church back when, and many people may know that our pastor retired back in February, and he had been at our church for 39 years. Mm. And so that was a huge change. You know, we were all very comfortable with Pastor Mark. We loved Pastor Mark. God had really used him in our church. And for him to get up out of the blue and say, you know, I'm retiring, March 31st will be my last service, was devastating to all of us. But, you know, God had something else in mind. And so things change. And so during that time, we started the Big Ben movement at our church. And I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but during World War II, because I love history, so I can't do this without a little mini history lesson. during World War II, Winston Churchill asked, there's a big clock, first of all, in London in the square, and the clock is called Big Ben. And so Winston Churchill asked everybody in the entire country of England to pray at 8 o'clock. When Big Ben strikes 8 o'clock, pray for 1 minute for this country and for peace because they were at war. And so they did this for, I don't know how long, but it became known during World War II as Winston Churchill's Big Bend Movement. So we started that at our church when Pastor Mark announced that he was retiring. We started the Big Bend Movement. Everybody sets their clock for 8 o'clock, and we prayed for revival at our church. We prayed for God to send us his man for this hour, and we prayed for unity in the body, and we're still praying for that. But what is so cool is a lot of times there'll be several of us together at 8 o'clock, and everybody's alarm goes off, and they're all different tones. You know, that everybody has a different thing. And it's so cool because I think that's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. We're all going to have our own voice and our own style of worship, but it's going to be a beautiful sound to God, just like all of those alarms going off, different alarms going off at exactly the same time for exactly the same reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just cool. And so we right now in this life, this is our dress rehearsal for eternity. Mm-hmm. So we need to learn to love each other, to worship together, to celebrate triumphs together, to carry each other's burdens, to fulfill the law of Christ. That's what we need to be doing now. That's what we're called to do. And if we're doing that, our problems get smaller. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm helping you carry your burden, I'm not worried about mine quite so much. Mm-hmm. You know, and God, the reality is God's got it all. And he cares about every minute detail of your life. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want us to care so much about it. Mm-hmm. He wants us to just let him handle it. And that's the real challenge, mm-hmm. I think, for most of us.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is a great idea, setting your phone at a certain time to go off so life doesn't gets engulf you so much that you forget.
Yes.
You know, on Joe's phone, back when he first was diagnosed last year with all the stuff he had, he's supposed to take Eliquis, I think it was, at 9:30 every morning and 9:30 every evening. So one of the daughters set his phone so that alarm goes off at that time twice a day, 9:30 in the morning, 9:30 in the evening. And I'd never thought about doing that. You know, lots of times we see something come across here about let's pray, or, you know, mm-hmm. it shows up in our Facebook, you know, let's all join in prayer at a certain time. But I've never thought about setting my phone. And so that is a great idea. And I would just challenge you out there, you know, let's set our phones at 8 o'clock in the evening so we can be praying with you all about whatever our needs are in our community, in our church. And we need to be praying, just like yesterday Duncan from First Baptist Church was talking about. You know, we need a revival, and he believes we're seeing a revival Amen. In our area.
Amen.
And we need to be praying for each other, with each other, and that unified time. That is a great idea. I'm going to set my phone right now.
I believe it. And we, you know, Winston Churchill asked the country to pray for 60 seconds. That's all we ask for at Grandview. Uh-huh. Let's pray for these three things for 60 seconds. Now, you can pray as long as you want to. But, you know, who can't take 60 seconds? Uh-huh. Who can't take 60 seconds? And I love that you said that he was praying for revival, mm-hmm. because that's what we want. Mm-hmm. We are praying for revival, not just at Grandview Church, but to overflow into every church in Western Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I mean, let's have people talking about Western Oklahoma because of what God's doing
Amen.
In Western Oklahoma.
Amen.
I mean, I know that times are wicked in the world and things look bad, and that God said these things were going to happen, but he never said anywhere that God was going to stop working, that God was going to stop answering the prayers of his people, that he was going to stop healing, stop delivering, stop bringing people in and, you know, giving them whatever they need. It never says God's going to stop. So we shouldn't stop. Mm-hmm. We should keep asking and keep believing and keep standing in faith. And I love that. We're going to do a conference September 23rd. It's called Sisterhood Gathering. And my heart for this is that it will be a community-wide thing. It's going to be hosted at Grandview Church, but we want every sister, mother, daughter, grandma, neighbor, we want every woman that needs something from God to be there. We want to see those needs met so they can carry it back to their families and their churches, and we can see a revival break out in this area. And we believe that this conference is a seed for that, for revival in Western Oklahoma. Because I'll tell you, God's doing things. He is doing things.
Amen.
Sorry, I'm doing all the talking.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We're taking notes.
Okay.
And the Lord's dropping stuff in our spirit once in a while for us to pitch in. So thinking about that prayer thing, I just am reminded of what happened. It was just last week. I went into Jan's, and I think I mentioned this last week, but I went into Jan's garden, and when I came in, she's like, I said, it's me to pick up the carrot juice. You know, every day I get carrot juice from Jan's. And she said, I've had one customer today. And she's, you know, you can only imagine the store full of stuff, and people need to be healthy. But anyway, as we chatted just a minute, and she said, I just need prayer. And as I headed out the door, I'm like, okay. And man, I mean, the Lord struck me right there in front of my car. How pathetic are you? You go back in. I put my carrot juice. No, I didn't even put the carrot juice in the car. I just took it back in with me. And I said, boy, I have been whacked by the Lord not to walk out this door and say, okay, but to come back in and pray with you.
That's awesome.
So I did. And that's the thing we have to do when someone says, would you pray for me? Not go, okay, but go, okay, let's do it now.
Yes.
I don't care if you're in Brahms. I don't care if you're in Walmart.
Embrace the awkward.
Yes, that's right. Embrace the awkward. So the next day when I was in there, she said, you know, prayer really works. And she held up her sales receipts for the day. And I said, yes, it does really work. Praise God.
See, that's it. When we pray for people, God gets the glory because they know it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't good luck. It was because we prayed. And when they hear you pray, that's really important. And I'm laughing through that story because God's been dealing with me about this for quite a while. And I was I was at a convenience store in Weatherford, and there was this lady sitting outside the door, and it was, you know, 104 degrees, and she was just sitting outside the door, and I just had the feeling that she probably was homeless or, you know, had a real need in her life or whatever. And so I walked in to take care of my business in there, and as I walked by her, I said, well, hi, how are you? And she said, I'm fine. And I said, it's really hot out here, isn't it? And she said, yeah, it is. Well, I go on in and take care of my business. And I come back out and I walk past her and I said, well, I hope you have a good day. And I go and get in my car. And just like you, God was like, you need to go ask her if there's something that she needs prayer for. So I get out of my car or ask her if she needs something. So I get out of my car and I go back over there and I say, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but is there something that you need? Are you hungry? Would you like a cold drink? Is there something I can get for you? And she said, will you get me something? And I didn't even know what it was. And I said, how about you come in here and tell the clerk what you need? Because I don't know what that is. And so she comes in. And so I bought this lady a pack of cigarettes. That was a great need in her life at that point. And I said, can I get you a Coke or something? Because I don't think the cigarettes are going to cool you off. And she said, no, but they'll calm me down. And I said, well, all things are relevant, aren't they? And so she goes outside and she's thanking me. So I go get back in my car and I'm feeling pretty good about myself because I bought this lady some cigarettes and she was happy I start my car, put it in reverse. And then God says, well, you need to go ask her if you can pray for her about something. So to make a long story short, I got in and out of my car 4 times. So, I mean, it is because it's awkward because I'm also sitting in the car going, God, she's going to think I am crazy. And what if she, you know, what if she wants me to take her somewhere? What do I do then? But God has it all worked out. And when the Holy Spirit moves you, don't argue with him. Just go do it. And if people think you're crazy, well, I'd rather be crazy for Jesus than just crazy.
Yeah. We were in Oklahoma City a couple of weeks ago, maybe when you were here last time, and we stopped to eat, I think we were still in Oklahoma City, but I can't remember for sure. But anyway, we just decided to grab some kind of hamburger or something, and Joe went over and sat down in this booth, and when I went to sit down, I was facing this window. I was where I could see this guy out there with a sign. And here I am, you know, and I figure he's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so bad. Well, when we got through, I asked one of the guys working there, I said, is this a normal thing for this guy? And he said, I've only been here a couple of weeks, but this is the first time I've ever seen him. And, oh, no, this is when we were on our way to Tennessee. I remember now because it was somewhere around Memphis.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember now where we were. Anyway, so Joe needed to go wash his hands. But this guy came in, and he was just sitting down on a bench. And I said, how are you today? And he said, well, pretty good. He said, I said, where are you from or something? He said, well, I was living over in this certain place, and I just decided to leave there. And he said, I'm just struggling right now. I haven't really found any place here. I don't have a place to stay. And I got half my motel room paid for, and I'm just, you know, trying to not sleep outside. And I said, well, could I get you something to eat? Because I wasn't going to pay for half a motel room. I didn't really have any cash on me, but mm-hmm. I had a credit card. And so I told him, I said, get whatever you need. And I told the girl, I said, get him whatever he needs, and here's my card. And that was a small thing, mm-hmm. but I felt prompted by the Lord to do that.
That's the key.
Uh-huh. And not just walk away and go, hope you have a good day while you're trying to get the rest of the money for your room, you know.
Right. But, and that's the thing is, like, we want to just lump people into one category. And there are some scam people out there, but if you will walk in the presence of the Lord, he will prompt you, mm-hmm. this need is real. Mm-hmm. This person has a need. Mm-hmm. Meet this need. Because God, we're the plan, people. Mm-hmm. God created us and told us to love each other as much as we love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we're the plan, mm-hmm. for reaching the rest of the world.
That's right.
So we need to be in tune. So just like you said, you really felt prompted. And I know there's been another time in my life when I went right on by, but it just stayed with me so much that I had to take the next exit, turn around and go back and mm-hmm. say, can I do something for you? You know, so if it's nagging at you, that's God.
Yeah. That sounds like a Monica story from a couple of years ago when she drove past someone and then went back and picked him up. And, you know, I've had people say to me, well, I'm not going to pick up hitchhikers like Neva does. And I'm like, well, I only pick up hitchhikers when the Lord prompts me
exactly.
to, because I say, Lord, is this someone I need to get or do I need to go on by?
Yes.
And then if it's yes, I pick him up. And I've, you know, been able to minister to a lot of people through the years because of that. And mm-hmm. so, I don't know, it's being in tune with the Lord.
That's it. That's it. And you never know what somebody's walking through.
That's right.
And
just don't tell my husband I pick up hitchhikers. Yeah. He would be afraid. Or my sister-in-law. She would really be afraid.
Anyway, yeah.
Well, would now be a good time to take some prayer requests?
Sure.
Are you kind of at a stopping point?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I better stop and start this, Monica, so you'll have this in two parts, if I can get my mouse over there.